Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the hearts that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 23 is one of those powerful messages that we put on our pens, we put on our coffee mugs. It's one of those coffee mug religious verses we put on there. And I tell you what, I love that verse, right? If I had room for one more coffee mug in my cabinet, I'd put it in there. I would. It's a great verse. But it must always be considered, as all scripture should, within the context of where it sits. It must always be in that verse. We take it out and we overuse it. We forget the entire lesson. Who was it that we were once servants to? Our own flesh, to the world. What benefits did we reap from it? Well, moments of joy, perhaps ecstasy, and we would have relief, and we would have some, whatever it is we were trying to get out of sin, we would get just a little bit of it, and then quickly find ourselves with a need for it again, and of course there would be a cost that would go into it, there would be changes, right? If you've got a hot temper, you're an angry person, right? There's all the bad things that happen when you behave that way. If you are caught in some gross sin, there's always the grossness that comes with gross sin. There's always something that comes extra with it. But you know what? We served sin and we reaped the benefits of sin. And the number one benefit of sin is what? Death. For the wages of sin is death. Now again, if we take the aspect that many thought, when, or not many, but when Adam and Eve thought, or Eve thought at least, right? Oh, you won't die. How about immediate death? We think, well, you know, I've known people who've done this sin all their lives. They were this kind of person. They had this character quality to them. They call it a character quality, but it's really sin. They said, well, they had this character quality about them all their lives, and they lived to 90, 100 years old. Right? Can't possibly be all that bad if they survived that long. That's not the kind of death we're talking about. We're talking about a permanent death, the second death. The eternity in hell. And that punishment, those wages, they're not something you get an option in. They're not something that you can just decide whether you are or are not going to participate in them. You don't get a choice in the matter. The benefit of that sin, the wages of that sin, will always be there to be paid. And somebody has to pay them. Somebody has to accept the punishment. Somebody has to deal with it. I want to tell a story about a young man who took a job at a bar. And for a young man starting off and being able to work at such a very trendy place, he got what he thought was a decent salary. He was making good money. Right? He had bills to pay, student loans and a car note and all the things you do in life. And he was making money and it was a neat job and he quickly developed friends there. And the boss told him, hey, listen, if you're ever short of cash, don't worry about it. You can get anything you want from this bar. All you got to do is put in your employee code when you put in the order. And if you don't got the cash, don't worry about it. I'll take it off your paycheck. First, young man's very excited about that, as you would be. All right, I like that. So he, at the end of the service, maybe he'd get a burger, maybe he'd get a little drink, you know. He'd put in that code, and there you go. It was fine. And after a while, he'd start to bring his friends in, and he'd rack up the bill a little bit. No worries, guys. Just give my little thing to my friend working behind the bar there, and they'll put in the code, and we're good. Well, after a particularly rough week at work and a very tremendous birthday celebration he threw for himself, he quickly found that his paycheck wasn't a paycheck, but a bill. Right? And to me, when I hear that the wages of sin is death, that's what I hear. I hear the word wages, but it sounds a lot like a bill. And that's what it is. See, you're paying me, but for some reason in paying me, I owe you. I'm supposed to be getting something out of this, but instead of getting anything, I owe. How is it that I took the money out of my pocket and I paid for this item, but it's robbed me of my health? How is it that I'm doing these things, but I end up in hell for it? They're supposed to serve me, but instead now I owe hell for it. How? Right? I performed this action. I cheated at this and I lied to get that and I abused people to have this. I put in all the effort. I did what I thought would get me the best reward. It paid me out. Why should that then turn into hell? It's what sin does. We look at sin and we think if we deny the characteristics of sin, we think that if we try to downplay the actions of sin, that it would make things better. It doesn't. The wages of sin is and always will be death. I do not believe that enough thought has been put into what sin is by most of the people in this world. They get this idea that somehow somebody drew a line. And we organize what we like or dislike as sin or not sin, right? Well, I tell you what, some old religious people don't like drinking, so we'll put that in sin. And there's some old religious people that like, drugs, so we'll put that over there. And they don't like to fool around, so they'll put that over there. But you know what? But it's okay taking long walks in the morning, talking to the Lord. That sounds like a religious thing, so that's not a sin. And eating apples, that's not a sin. And doing this and that's not a sin. There was no line that was drawn, and we just get to decide where things go. God knows what sin does. There are actions, there are attitudes, there are behaviors that have a corrosive effect. God says don't do them, and everyone has their own thing. There's a reason you're not supposed to lie, and it's not just because good old-fashioned Christian folk don't like it. There's a reason for it. It has an effect on you. It has an effect on the world around you. And that is wrong. There are some things that are sins because they lead to temptation. There are some things that are sin because they misrepresent God. There are some things that are sin because they hurt other people. They might not even hurt you, right? People sit there and think, well, it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't cause any trouble to me. Yeah, it may not hurt you, but it could cause trouble to others. And sometimes the sin is just a lack of kindness. It's a lack of compassion. God decides what is and what is not sin. And I tell you what, every sin will do what sin does. Whether I agree it's a sin or not. That's why every now and then we'll get into a conversation. Hey, do you think this is right or wrong? And we have to be careful about how we answer that question. It's not about what Pastor Roland thinks. It's not about what brother or sister so-and-so thinks. We take that action, we take whatever it is, and we look at it. I've used this illustration before. What about those people that, well, they don't smoke, right? Because once upon a time in our country, smoking was not a sin, right? In our world, we didn't know it was bad or good. It wasn't a sin. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, now it is a sin. Who decided that? Well, it always kind of was. We just didn't recognize it for what it was. We couldn't take the action, see what it was doing, see what the value of was it, and we couldn't ascertain it that way, right? So there was a moment where we saw, oh, I see. No, we can't do that, right? It's killing us. It's bad. Clearly, that's bad, right? Body's a temple. Killing the temple. Don't do it. I got it, right? Right? We made that jump. Well, what about vaping? It's a lot safer. We stop. We take a look at it. We pull it apart. well, cigarettes are bad because they're poisonous, but there's a lot of these guys who out there and they smoke it and they're doctors and they think that it's perfectly safe and it's not causing cancer and it's not doing things, right? So they think it's perfectly safe, so it's a lot safer. Is that still a sin? Still a sin. Why? Because you're purposefully putting something into your body in a way that God did not design for you to partake in something in your body. It's doing chemical things to your brain to change your outlook and your position on things. It diminishes your thinking capacity. It kills your brain cells. It is still bad. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says. And how about this? Let's take a quick look at it. What happens when the weed's not enough? What happens when there's a guy out there trying to juice the product a little bit so you like him just a little bit better than others? They put a little bit of that fentanyl in there. You know what Texas just did? Texas just they changed fentanyl you no longer consider fentanyl overdose as an overdose. You know what they consider it now? Poisoning. And at first I sat there and I go, huh, well, wait a minute. Why would you take that down if you're taking fentanyl? Because now the person who sells it isn't charged for selling drugs. They're charged for murder. Oh, yeah. So what happens when they put a little bit of that in the powder? Well, they put a little bit of that on the weed. What happens then? Oh, we'll see. That's a different line. Now, we don't get to decide what the line is. We'll sit all day in great grand councils trying to decide what's right and what's wrong. It is not us that get to do that. God does. We take it, we look at it, we pull it apart, we weigh it against the scriptures. What does the scripture say about these sorts of things, right? It changes my mental state. It affects things. It does what it shouldn't be doing to my body. I got to do things I'm not supposed to be doing to my body to get it. And you can sit there and say, well, it doesn't hurt my body at all. It's just a little white lie, right? I'm just telling a little white lie. No, it's clearly in the Bible. What's in there? It's a lie. Well, it's not a lie, it's an embellishment. What's an embellishment? When I tear something out of proportion. When you pull something out of proportion, what is it? It's a deception. It's a lie. Come on. Let's not play. Let's take a look at it. Pull it apart. What is it really? But that takes honesty to do. Good old-fashioned moral honesty. Where I remove from it what I feel. I remove from it my bias. I look at it what it is through the scope of scriptures. And I call it what it is. We need to put a little bit more thought into what sin is other than, well, some people like it, some people don't like it. That drives me crazy sometimes. Brother, I know you might not like it, but this is a thought that I've been having about this sin. Okay, but you need to not be concerned about whether I like it or not. You don't answer to me. You don't. There's no time, by the way, where God is going to tap the people you love and tap the people you are concerned about on the shoulder and say, hey, can you take care of this judgment seat for a little bit? I'm going to go take a break. You're not going to find any of the people you're fooling on that seat. You're going to find the one you can't fool. He doesn't need a break. He's not going to substitute people you can fool or people that will show compassion for our sin. That's not how that works. And when you think about wages, I mean, come on, we put in the work, don't we? iPhones have this cute little trick where, and I don't have one, but I like it, where you can look at all the different things that you do on your phone. You spend X amount of time on this app and X amount of time checking your email and get little reports, and that's nice. Hey, wouldn't it be funny if God gave you little reports like that during the week? I don't know if it'd be funny, but it would be good, wouldn't it? That'd be a good tool to be afraid of. You spent X amount of time in prayer, you spent this much time in sin, and these are the sins you did, and you spent this much time sleeping, and this much time staring out the window, this much time looking down at the screen. I think that would shock some of us. I think it would. I think it would terrify some of us. I know it'd be one of those things I dread looking at. You know, we were talking about the Jameses this morning. I like getting the Jameses report. And I'll even say this, I missed Sister James reporting it this month. I know she doesn't always do it, but I'm like, oh man, maybe next month. All right, we'll find out what's going on with the mice. We'll find out something good, something interesting. You know, is this good? But there are some reports you just don't want to look at. Some things you don't want to see. I used to get people strolling to my office at work. I've got the bill from our supplier. Oh, you know what? It's Let's put that right there. That's the afternoon job. That's I'm not ready for that right now because I know we just ordered, you know, 4 or 5 hot water heaters. Now you put that right there. There's some things we'd avoid that report. We would. I don't want to know how I wasted my time. I don't want to know how much I put into sin. I don't want to know what I did with sin. I think we would all weep and we'd be good too. We put in the hours in sin, we put in the work. Instead of being honest, instead of being harboring our integrity, instead of growing the fruit of the Spirit, we grow other fruit. We grow pride, we grow arrogance, we grow, I don't know, whatever debauchery we want to get into, but we spend our efforts into it. And so often you see people, I don't know really how I started in sin. Yes, you do. You might not remember how old you were. But you know what you've been doing. You know how it happens. Well, I just woke up one day and there I was drunk. You did not. You did not. You went to the place, you took out your wallet, you put the money on the table. Well, I don't know where the lie started. I do, in your mouth. I got you. It started here, it came out there. I got you. Don't pretend. Right? People used to, well, one day, I don't know how it got on, but I was watching on CNN yesterday. Yes, you do. No, that's not a sin. That's just an illustration. I heard somebody say one time, I don't know what happened. I just came in the living room and CNN was there. I was reading a book. I looked up and CNN was on. CNN doesn't work that way. There I was in my neighbor's car. Nope. Now listen, I know there's sleepwalking, stuff like that, but come on. How'd you get there? That's not important. It kind of is. Kind of is. Why? Because you put in the work. There's nobody there making you sin. Don't we do that with the kids? Remember back when kids used to do that? Oh, the devil made me do it. I don't know if your kids ever did that. Mine haven't done it, but I remember growing up with kids. Devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Right? Well, it just came out. No, it didn't. What? Who's got their hand up your back making the words come out of your mouth? Right? We get this idea of the shoulder angel and the demon, and the demon won out. You didn't have a choice. Do you understand how that sounds? You're doing things, you're saying things, you're talking about things, and all of a sudden you're claiming no responsibility for it. That sounds like you need to get checked out. That sounds like it's time to schedule a CAT scan. I'm just saying, we've got to be adults when we're adults. Right? As kids, we said foolish things, Paul said, right? But as an adult, you put away the childish things. I said it. I thought it. I did it. Be responsible. I put in the hours. I put in the work. I know what my sin is. And boy, we put up the numbers, don't we? When it comes down to producing sin, our work lives in sin, we put in the hours. We put in the numbers. There was this great song called The Baptism of Jesse Taylor. I've got two buddies, man. They love that song. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it paints a picture of a man so bad that when the Lord saved him, it bankrupted the gambling, drinking, and fighting economy of a little county called Franklin County. Right? If you're familiar with the song, you know what I'm talking about, right? He was a gambler. They said the pockets of the gamblers were missing Jesse's money. The bars nearly went bankrupt, stuff like that. You know, it's a fictional song and it's a humorous song. I like it. But I tell you what, if it came down to the devil describing what you were good at, if it came down to your old nature telling me what you were good at, what would it say about you? Hey, what would your nature still say about you that you're good at? What are you still known for? Are you a brawler? Are you a fighter? Are you a lecherous person? Are you, any kind of thing we want to put out there? We name sins all day. What are you still good at that you're not supposed to be? What things did the Lord save you from? And maybe you went out and you found new things. Either way, we're still producing the numbers we ought not to be. At work, we used to have this little game we would play, and I tell you, it was pretty good. We would have a competition among all the people in sales, and whether you were management or not, your sales numbers were recorded, and your closing percentage, how many tours you took through the community versus how many applications you picked up. So if I went out and I took 10, 11, 12 tours in the time that I was working, and 10 of them would, you put in an application, that percentage would be recorded, and we would put that out every Monday. So every Monday, all the salespeople would get excited. Am I on the top five list, right? You could see who the top five were, and they got like a candy bar or something like that. But mostly it was bragging rights. So you could go to the email and talk to that one person that you fight with at the other property for highest percentage and tell them where they tell them where they can send the gift card. I beat you. You know? That's really what it was for. At least that's what I used it for. I never ate the candy bar. I did the ribbing. And for me, I always had somebody that I liked to fight with too. Right? When I was first learning, the guy who taught me, his name was Matt too. And it was either Matt Hull or Matt Rowland. And I tell you what, he was always at 100%, beat me every time. He slipped for 1 week. I didn't let him forget it for six. Of course, he beat me all of those six, but I still stayed on top. Hey, man, what? Matt, I'm back on top. I go, yeah, but you had to crawl over me to get there, man. I'm just saying, you know. And we had fun with it. It'd be grotesque and almost perverse. But if we were logged between temptations and temptations we gave into, and that percentage were recorded in the same way, I would wonder. I wonder the horror of that. What that would inspire in us. You sit there on a Monday morning and you look down and there is a little message from the Lord. 20 temptations hit you in the last week. You gave in to 19 of them. Hey, you know, for the 30 times you could have done something wrong, you did it 25. We put in the numbers, don't we? I could say no to that. I know I could say no to that. I'm a full-grown person. I could say no to that. But I fell for it anyway. And what people don't realize who are so far against religion, so far against what the Bible has to say, they're against these things, they don't realize what they're a slave to. As we look at this passage of Scripture, verse 15 again, let me turn there so I'm there. What then shall we sin because we are under the law? That we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I'm either serving God or I'm serving the sin that I perform. That's it. Well, I'm free to drink beer. Well, drinking beer is not free. I'm free to smoke this. Smoking that's not free. Well, I'm in my home. I'm a grown-up. I can say and do whatever I want. Yeah? But you're not free from the consequences. Well, I tell you what, might equals right, and if I feel like that's what I'm going to do, and so... There's always a punishment. For sure one from the Lord, for sure the one to death. But I tell you what, there's always a lot of small little dents and dings that come along with it. We need to be concerned about the numbers we're producing and who it is we're serving. Whose best interest we're really fulfilling when we do things. You're always doing something. You got to be mindful of that. You're always doing something for somebody. Right? Yeah, you know what? You're standing up against this. You're doing whatever sin you think is important. But you're paying somebody. You're feeding into the flesh. You're feeding into the hype. You're feeding into the companies that are doing awful things. And we can't even sit there and say that there's any merit to it. Seems like we're kind of picking on drinking today, so I'll stick with the theme. Remember back when there was an issue with water and what was it, Anheuser-Busch or whoever it was, made all these commercials about how they're sending cans of water to meet the need? Did you know that they spent more money in one airing of a commercial than they actually spent on the water that they sent? Who are we serving? Right now you're sitting going, brother, I've never bought an Anheuser-Busch product. That's not the point. The point is that it's not just restricted to them. They're not the only ones pulling these things. Right? Whether it's overeating, whether we're abusing people, whatever it is we're doing, we are always feeding into something that creates a bigger problem somewhere else. We sit there and we watch in shock and awe at these people who produce these movies, these awful movies. And we see how they're abusing the actresses, and they're abusing the actors, and they're hurting children. And we put them on the TV and we go, oh, I can't believe that they would do this, that they would back these people. Well, they only let him do it because he's a millionaire. Who put the money in their pockets? Who? Well, brother, I don't like it when you talk about the kind of movies we watch. But watch those people get scalped when they do wrong with money we gave them. We paid for it. Who were we talking? We were just talking about Bill Cosby. I tell you what, Bill Cosby, one of the biggest heartbreaks, because he looked so wholesome, looked so wonderful, had such great opinions. We had no idea what he was doing back behind everybody else's back. But I tell you what, there was a lot of Christians that justified going to the bars that he was doing stand-up comedy in, and they justified a lot of the stuff, a lot of the sins that they committed, and a lot of the jokes that he told that were kind of off-color. But it's okay, because he's a good guy. But look at him now! Look at it! How'd he get that? Where did he get the money to buy the drugs for the women? Where did he get the money to buy the booze for the women? We gave it to him. And how many preachers sat there and pointed at people like that and said, don't go to these comedy clubs. Well, I don't drink there, Pastor. It's okay. You're old-fashioned. Don't do it. It's Harvey Weinstein guy. Where'd he get the money for the hotel rooms to meet the actresses in? Where did that come from? The big budget productions that he would put on. And the preachers would point and say, you ought not see these kind of movies. Sin always pays out, and we put in the numbers. We do. We put up the numbers for it. What's that? I can justify this because I can get a little... I can get a little creative with some scripture, and I can justify this sin. And because I can justify this sin just a little bit, it makes it perfectly okay for me to do this. And what we don't realize is that in doing that, and going to the bar, and buying the drugs, and doing whatever it is that we're doing, we are pushing an even worse thing. We cannot be shocked when the sinful world does what it does when we're giving them the money to do it. When we're giving them the go-ahead, when we're putting in the numbers, making it okay. Because ultimately what we realize is we deserve that paycheck, don't we? I told that cute little story about the guy who got in over his head with his bar bill because he liked using his code, right? That's who we are. Did he not, in this little fictional story, did he not deserve to pay that? Did he not do the drinks? Did he not put in the code? He earned it. We earned our wages. But here's the good part. Here's where the sermon flips, right? We didn't have to cash that check. We earned it. Man, we earned it. Whether you were young when you were saved or you were old enough to have really built up a check, you earned it. And what a sad paycheck it is. A paycheck that would have taken you an eternity to cover. One that would have cost you your freedom for an eternity. Would have spent to end all time. To be able to sit there in hell and still not pay off that debt. That's what the wages of sin is. It is an eternity of pain and loss of freedom. It's a paycheck we couldn't have ever covered. But praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, who took that paycheck for us, who took that debt, paid one we could never owe. I hate this theology that says that God just forgot. Hey, I just, you know what? He forgot the debt. He didn't forget the debt. That debt was paid. He took it. He didn't sit there and look at your lowly state with the problem you're in and go, hey, I tell you what, this punishment's just too much for you. I'm going to take you. We're going to forget about it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to give you something different. Right? There was a kid in the we used to have children's parties at Flat Rock for Christmas. And every now and then you just get one kid who gets a weird gift. I don't know what the parents were thinking, or if my opinion was that the kid who brought the gift probably forgot to tell mom and dad, so he just kind of made it up. It was like a roll of toilet paper, so it was funny. But you can't give that to a 6 or 7 year old and it be okay. So what do? You go in there, you try to get creative with it, you try to make it okay a little bit. Make it a little bit more fun for the kid. That's not what the Lord did for you. He didn't look down and say, "Oh, you got a bum deal. Let me just take that away from you." No. He took that punishment for you. That's what he did. If you're here and you're saved, there was a paycheck of pain coming and you didn't have to take it. But he did. It had to be paid. It could not be shuffled off. It could not be pushed away. To do that makes God cruel. You understand that, right? It not only makes him a liar through scripture, but it makes him cruel. That at any time he could just sit there and say, "All right, guys, never mind. This whole idea of sin and good decisions, bad decisions, we're forgetting it. You're all forgiven." He could do that. No, it must be paid. He paid it. He took it, he laid it to his own accounts. He did not supplement your wages for better ones. He did not rip up your wages and pay you with grace instead. He suffered the effects of your sinful labor long before you were born. And as we see through our passage of scripture, let's go to verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." When we were saved, we made the decision to quit work at the other place and continue on. You know what I did the moment I walked out the door at my old job? Took the numbers out of my phone. Now, there are still some numbers I have in there, folks that I like. I check in with every now and then. Took the numbers for the businesses out of there. Why? Because I don't work there anymore. I don't. You know what? When they call me and they ask me for advice, they call me and they want me to come in and they take care of things. "Hey, Matt, do you remember this from a year ago?" I don't answer the phone. I don't. I know the HR lady. I've got her phone number. If she has any questions about taxes or whatever, she can get a hold of me anytime. But when it comes down to, "Hey, Matt, what do you think about this? Hey, Matt, what's your experience with that?" Nope. That was back when you paid me. I don't work there anymore. I don't mean that mean. I want to be nice. I want to be gentle. But I tell you what, sometimes you got to cut a parasite off, and I know who I was working with. I've got the people that I knew would call me and we could have a normal conversation about. Maybe they could tell me how certain things went. We could laugh about it, or I could be like, "Oh no, I'm so sorry that happened." I kept those people. The people who I knew would just be, "Hey Matt, can you come back and can you show me this? Or can you teach me how to do that? Hey Matt, can you explain this to me one more time?" Cut them off. Why? Because I don't work there anymore. Right? "Here, let me send you a consulting fee. Once that's signed, then I'll step back in." That needs to be our relationship with sin. I don't work there anymore. I'm not a servant to that anymore. "Yeah, but didn't it feel good?" "Yeah. I had a lot of fun doing that, boss. That was a good time. But all that paid me out was pain. All it ever did for me is give me a little bit of joy and disgrace in the eyes of God. It's not worth it. It's not worth it." And I tell you what, there are some things out there that used to be worth it to me. My boys got a hold of some candy through some one of those Flat Rock people that I love so much. Gave them some candy, turned their mouths purple. And you could tell by age they were how purple it was, right? Xander, he had a purple tongue and a little bit of purple teeth. And I go, "That's cute." Look over at Casper, he had purple all over his lips. Look like he'd been underwater for a little bit too long. I looked like, "That's cute. I like that. That was funny. We took a picture together. That was fun." Gideon was so excited about his purple tongue and mouth. He was like, "I got a picture. I'll show you. He's got purple all over his face." Right? Looked like a cartoon character. I love that picture. I love it, man. There's some people, you know, they had those things. When I was a kid, I loved those kind of suckers too. They were delicious. They were good times. We used to fight over them to get them. It was good. But I'm a grown person. I'm looking at that and I look at it and I go, "No, thank you. I don't want purple teeth. I don't want a purple tongue. That's a child's game. I don't want it anymore, right? Right? If I came over to you with the kind of candy they were eating, you'd look at that and go, you know what, brother? Why don't you give that to your kids? I know you would. Because we'd look at that differently now that we're grown-ups. When you're saved, that ought to be your outlook when you look at sin. I used to do that. I used to remember the joy it brought me. But now it would only bring me pain. I'd be brushing my teeth for weeks. Right? Some of you would be sitting there going, I'd have to soak them things for a while. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't even... That was mean. No. But you get what I'm saying? Right? You got no desire for it. I look at candy like that now and I go, that would make me sick now. But I do, like we do, and we sit there. I remember that sin, and I remember at a time where my body handled it and things seemed okay. But all it ever did was get me sick. All it ever did was cause trouble. Yeah, I remember the sins, the gluttony, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the whatever it is we got up into. Yeah, I remember why. But that was the old servant. That was the old master. I don't serve that master anymore. What he brought with a little bit of joy brought me so much more condemnation, brought me so much more trouble. What is it that I say when it comes down to my weight sometimes? Well, too much ha-ha, pretty soon boo-hoo. That's what sin did to you. Yeah, there was some ha-ha, but there's a whole lot more boo-hoo. And you need to be glad when the Lord saves you before you get the worst of it. And that's hell. You wake up and you realize that all the devil paid you with were wooden nickels. All he paid you with were lies. I was watching a video and they were talking about these NFTs where you could buy the rights to a picture on the internet. And the guy was doing this wonderful sales pitch, but he was also doing this thing at the end where he was doing some disclaimers. Hey, if you buy these things, these non-fungible tokens that are like, you know, I have like a picture of a duck or something, and I can sell that for X amount of dollars, anybody who'd be willing to buy that. And you, in this coding here, if anybody looks it up, they see that it belongs to you. And I go, well, what does that do for me? Does it like appreciate? Well, it's like art, but you don't, you know, it's not there. But one of the things that he described is if the computer server it's on, or however it is that it's stored, if that goes down, it's gone. And any evidence that you ever owned it, it's gone. I go, so wait a minute, it's an imaginary thing found on the internet that I could own, maybe, right? As long as a bunch of people agree that I own it, but that it's not tangible, it's not something I have, and I could, here it is, I can't bring you, hey, look at this. And if the computer goes down, there's no evidence of it, it doesn't matter anymore? Yeah. Okay. And they're selling it for how much? Hundreds of thousands of dollars? Okay. Sounds good to me. That's what it is. You think you own it. You don't. Not in any way that matters. So I'm like, wait a minute. If the internet goes down, if the world goes sideways, nuke goes off, any of these bad things that we're predicting might happen are going to happen. All of a sudden, I spent $300,000 on what? A picture of a duck? And that picture is gone now, and I can't get onto the internet? What if I lose a bunch of money, and I can't get on the internet to show anybody that I own the picture of the duck? What if people don't want to sell the duck for $300,000, or buy the duck for $300,000? What if... That's it. Almost reminds you of all the other little fads that we had. People knifing each other over Beanie Babies when I was a kid. Remember that fun? Right, these little beanbag toys, people were fighting over them. You know what? You can buy those things for 50 cents now. And I distinctly remember having to sit in the McDonald's drive-thru with mom and dad for almost 2 hours to get one time. I just don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense that we would put so much value on something worth so little. In sin, that's exactly what we do. We storm out of churches. We get upset at each other. We refuse to open scripture. We refuse to talk to each other because to us our sin matters more. And all it ever is pasted pearls and wooden nickels. But Jesus Christ took the punishment for our sin. Gave us a new purpose. We now serve righteousness. And as Paul sits there and he says, and I do believe that's who's talking here. When we see this, We are now servants of righteousness. When we were lost, we couldn't do righteousness. Now that we're righteous, we can. We can serve the Lord. We can grow. It would almost always be expected of us when we had no desire for what God called right to it be perfectly okay. The world says it's okay. I say it's okay. It should be okay. Who's to judge me? And I would have no desire to do the more restrictive things. I would have no desire to push the cause of Christ when it's Christ that's telling me that I'm wrong. There'd be this barrier between me and serving the Lord. But now I've got more of a heart for kindness. I've got more of a heart for charity. I've got more of a heart to preach the word. I've got more of a heart to righteousness, to be a better person, not just for the people around me, not just for myself, but for God. And I've got the ability, and I've got forgiveness, and I've got all of heaven waiting for me. There's fears that I don't have to have. There's blessings that come in and take away the sting of the things that happen here. There are blessings that I have. My wife and I, we've been preparing for the last, what was it, since we came here, for tax day. I ain't been worried about it, but I've been watching it. Because I know that you've got to give X amount of dollars, and I'm working with the accountant, and I'm going, all right. And he goes, don't worry about it. I go, I'm not worried about it, I'm planning about it. And he goes, that's very cute. Have a good day. And I just, you know what, we sat there, we did, we got a return. We did everything the accountant said, we got a return. I was very excited about that. We took our van in. That's not our van, by the way. We didn't buy a new van. We got that from the in-laws to borrow. We took it in. We got a big repair bill. Now, personally, I think the time spent not driving it while they're repairing it's going to pay for it because of those gas prices. But we weren't planning on a return. We got a return. We got a bill. That bill's covered. I praise the Lord for that. Well, no, that's the natural course of things. You see, you're giving credit to the... I'm going to thank the Lord for that. Because I'll tell you right now, if I was working at Paragon, that money wouldn't have been there. I'm just saying. You roll back the dial 2 years, that would have been a battle. That would have been rough. When we trust in the Lord, when He blesses us, my life is filled with those moments. And there are people that look at me and they say that you're crazy. They say that you shouldn't be doing those things. And they say, hey, listen, you're limiting yourself. Hey, Matt, there's other things you could be doing that would be making you a whole lot more. I don't have to worry about those things. I don't worry about bombs dropping. I don't worry about sickness. And listen, those things may come and I'm not going to enjoy them. I'm not saying that they're not going to sting. I'm not saying that they aren't going to be hurtful. Bad things will happen. But a bit of that edge is taken off because I know that whenever things happen, there is the Lord. There is. You know, for every time where I sit there and I have to say goodbye to somebody that lost a battle with some illness, I know that there are people like Mike Hubbs out there who we were praying for to get over canceled. He just put on Facebook he went snowmobiling. I know that that's how the Lord works sometimes. And I know that even if there is illness in my life and the Lord takes me out, I know where He's putting me. Everything has changed. My new master is far better than my old master. And there are a lot of people that sit there and say, well, I don't think we serve the devil. Fine, think you serve yourself. You're still not a good master. You're not. Right? Some people out there, they put anything in their body they want. That's not fun. You pay for that. You wake up hacking your lungs out. You wake up not able to touch your toes. Whatever it is, it happens. It's not fun. You're not a good master to yourself. Oh, but God tells you what to do, how to do it, gives you the strength to pull through. And it's not something that just happens automatically. You do have to serve. You do have to obey. Well, if your God's so good, why'd you get sick? Because this is still a cursed earth. And I still did X, Y, Z, and it made me susceptible to it. Or I tell you what, it's just the natural order of things. Right? Well, if your God forgave you, why is your life still a mess? Because I made it a mess. Right? You can't sit there, lie, cheat, do the things that we do and not expect messes. Oh, but God in His goodness and His mercy. We need to realize that we've switched jobs. And knowing that we have switched, we need to ask ourselves why we would ever take up work from the old master. Why? We had a lady in our office one time. I caught her on the phone with her old boss. I sat there and I said, all right, it's her first day, right? Maybe there was a thing. I've been there. I'm going to let it go. Did you know that she was on that phone 3 or 4 times for like 15 minutes each, talking to her old boss about different things to do? I just kind of sat there and I said, hey, listen, I go, you can't do that, right? Once or twice, I was going to let it go. I go, but I'm paying you to work for him at this point, and that's just not cool. And she worked for a temp agency. She came in, and she did it again. So she went to lunch. I called the temp agency and said, this isn't going to work out, and this is why. She came back. I let her go. Right? You can't serve two masters that way. Why on earth would the Lord continue to give you grace and mercy and all the things that he gave you if you're still clocking into the old master? It don't work that way. He wasn't even a nice boss. Right? Whether it was the devil, whether it was flesh, whoever you want to say you were working for before, it don't matter. Wasn't a good boss. Would drain you dry. But God, oh, he's been nothing but good to me. We're singing that song for the choir. It's a song I used to sing for Gaspin when he was a boy. The longer I serve him, he's still a boy, by the way, but the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That's my Lord. I have found battles ahead of me may be tougher, but I'm tougher because of the battles that he beat in my life before. And inside, I get more mercy and grace and more understanding every day through him. And the question would be for anybody that is still in this life of sin, why? Why on earth would we deal with the master that we have for the small glimpses of pleasure? And ultimately, what is it that so many people are hanging on to? Well, you know, society looks at me a little bit better if I agree with these things. Oh, yes. The opinion of a group of people whose minds change like this. Check history. What's perfectly wonderful and acceptable and true today, they fought and voted against years ago. And what do you think they're going to do the moment a dime is going to be able to be made on another opinion? They're going to flip on you. Just what's going to happen. Right? This whole idea that we've always been a solid and stoic Christian nation. No, it's always been filled with heathen. It has. It had a form of godliness, if I could steal that phrase from the Word of God. We had a form of godliness. There were certain people. But for the most part, there are people out there doing the same sins we had today, right? I've got books. I've read books that talked about the profound and almost Baptistic beliefs of the founding fathers. I've got other books that talk about their great party lives and how promiscuous they were, and one party that they had where they got together at a meeting and how much beer and alcohol that they drank. These people, their minds flipped like this. They were theists. Right? They believed in God because it was popular. Today we believe in whatever it is we believe in because it's popular. Don't fall into society because, well, it's acceptable. I'd rather fall into a God that never changes. I'd rather fall into a God that says, this is the way it is, this is how it ends, this is what you should do. I'm much more comfortable with that. Because I've never found him to lie. I have always seen the truth in it. When I've lived by it, it's worked. When I failed it, I can point to where I failed it and why it didn't work and why it was my fault. Well, brother, if God's looking over every little thing, what about this one bad thing happens? I live in a cursed earth. That's what happens. Maybe I did it. Maybe I did the thing. Right? If it was a sin you committed and it caused trouble, that's not the Lord letting you down. That's you letting the Lord down. You created that mess. We have free will, don't we? Right? When it comes down to it, let us serve the new master. Let us be grateful every day for our God in heaven. And if we are lost, let us shun the old master. Let us reach out and take that grace that's being offered. Let's pray, Heavenly Father.